Random House Audio presents A Lion Called Christian by Anthony Burke and John Rendell. Foreword by George Adamson. Read for you by John Lee. Foreword by George Adamson. In April 1970, I received a letter from London from my friend Bill Travers telling me about Christian, a fifth-generation English lion, and asking whether I would be prepared to take him over and rehabilitate him back to the wild of his forebears. The idea appealed to me greatly, not only because it would save Christian from a lifetime of captivity, but also because it would be, in all probability, the first time an English lion had been returned to the life for which he was created. I felt confident that his inherited knowledge and instincts would soon assert themselves, given the chance, and in spite of his breeding. I must admit that I did not feel the same confidence about his two owners when I heard that they would accompany Christian and stay a few weeks at my camp. I was led to believe they were very mod, with long hair and exotic clothing. My first sight at Nairobi Airport of pink bell-bottomed trousers and flowing locks did nothing to dispel my misgivings. But Ace and John soon restored my faith in the modern generation. Immediately I sensed the bond of deep affection and trust between them and Christian. I know from experience how hard it must have been for them to leave Christian to face the inevitable dangers and hardships of a lion in the wild. At the time of writing, Christian is nearly 2 years old. He is as much at home in this wilderness as if he had been born here. Apart from initial toughening up, he required no training. Always the wonderful storehouse of inherited knowledge has shown him the way. George Adamson, Campi Yasimba, Kora, 15th of July, 1971. Introduction. In 1971, we wrote A Lion Called Christian, the story of a lion from London who returned to Africa. And now, 40 years later, the internet's YouTube has introduced a new world audience to Christian, an audience that is intrigued and enchanted by his extraordinary story. We were two young travellers from Australia who had just arrived in London and unexpectedly bought a lion cub from Harrods department store. We lived with him in London, then in the country, until it was arranged for him to be returned to Kenya and rehabilitated by George Adamson of Born Free fame. Two documentaries, A Lion at World's End and Christian the Lion, were made about George Adamson assembling a pride of lions, centered on Christian's return to the wild. The YouTube clip features our unforgettable reunion with a now much bigger lion on our return to Kenya 1 year later in 1971. This 2009 edition of the book is revised and updated. We are both proud of the 1971 edition, written when we were in our early 20s. And this edition is true to the original text. However, we took the opportunity to add new information and make some clarifications, and in some instances we have tried to express ourselves more effectively. 40 years later, some of our memories are very vivid and some are vaguer. We have referenced two very good books that refer to Christian that have been published subsequently. George Adamson's 1986 autobiography, My Pride and Joy, and Adrian House's 1993 The Great Safari, The Lives of George and Joy Adamson. These books verified the chronology of some particular events for us and provided new information. Another source was the letters Ace wrote to his parents from this period that, until recently, he was unaware had been kept. The first edition of A Lion Called Christian concluded in 1970. And this new edition has been updated to include our visits to Christian in 1971 and in 1972. This edition is in response to the great interest in Christian's story generated by the YouTube clip of our 1971 reunion. Late in 2007, we began receiving emails alerting us that the reunion footage was on YouTube. We do not know who posted it, and we would not have known how to do it ourselves even if we had thought of it. We did not really monitor the interest, but in early 2008 we noticed the clip was becoming more popular. It was being sent around the world as one of those "send this on to someone you love" emails, complete with Whitney Houston's version of the highly emotive "I Will Always Love You" as the backing track. The hits on YouTube began to climb into the millions, and other sites opened. We occasionally read the comments, but felt like voyeurs into our own lives. Most people found the clip extremely moving, and comments were very positive, which is apparently uncommon, and this was often remarked on by other commentators. It was a very special experience that we now all shared. The internet is unregulated territory, and quite a lot of the information about Christian and us was incorrect, particularly the suggestion that we were in danger when we went back to see Christian. George had now known Christian for a year, and he was confident Christian would recognize us and greet us, although he admitted later that he did not expect such an exuberant display of affection. Then the American television host, Ellen DeGeneres, showed the clip on her program and invited John and Virginia McKenna to appear. They were unavailable, but the showing of the reunion clip saw the hits on the site climb to 3 million and led to many other international television networks broadcasting it. Christian had become world news, and we stopped counting as the hits reached 44 million, and the sites expanded to over 800. Hollywood producers began to call. Funny spoofs and parodies have since been posted, and another unknown person joined Christian to Facebook, and he now has many friends. Christian's story was well known in 1971. The book was published in 4 languages and serialized in many magazines. The documentaries The Lion at World's End and Christian the Lion were repeatedly shown on television in many countries. Then, naturally, the interest gradually faded. And as the years passed, the memory of the experience was so surreal, it seemed to us like a secret dream, a fantasy, or even a hallucination. Last time, in the early 1970s, people were aware of the entire story, the novelty of a London lion returning to Africa. But this time, because of those few filmed minutes of our 1971 reunion in the clip, the focus has been on the loving relationship we had with a rapidly growing, supposedly wild animal, and the extraordinary welcome we received from him after a year. The interest and the thoughtful responses have been overwhelming for us, and have given us the opportunity to reflect on the experience so many years later. One emailer, for example, felt that we were able to bridge the differences and stereotypes that society imposes on animals and reveal our similarities. We have tried to understand why this story has struck such an emotional chord with millions of people. Is it the unconditional love Christian demonstrated? Is it about growing up and separation? Is it about loss and loneliness and the joy of reconnection? Are people projecting their own feelings and needs in relation to their own animals and the solace and companionship they provide? With the domination of technology and computer games replacing outdoor activities, are we all now too alienated from the natural world? Is it nostalgia for a time when childhood was more carefree and safer, with more freedom and time for youthful adventures? The internet has revolutionized communication and offers still unimaginable opportunities for social networking and entertainment, information dissemination, as well as social and political activism. Through the internet, we can now exert real influence on causes we believe in. We wonder what we could all achieve together if we work in concert to address some of the world's most urgent social, environmental, and wildlife issues. 1. A lion with a price tag. No zoo is complete without lions. The small zoo at Ilfracombe in Devon, on the south coast of England, was no exception, and the lion and lioness were a particularly handsome pair. The lion had been bought from the Rotterdam Zoo in Holland, and the lioness had come from the Biblical Zoo in Jerusalem. They had their first litter on August the 12th, 1969, 4 healthy cubs, 1 male and 3 females. 9 weeks later, with summer over and no more holiday crowds to attract, 2 female cubs were sent to an animal dealer and were subsequently bought by a circus. The remaining female and male were bought by Harrods, the Knightsbridge department store, and sent to London by train. The four cubs seemed destined, as their parents were.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?